Psalm 121, this is God's word, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The theme is, the Lord is your keeper. With four thoughts. He keeps you safe. He keeps you stable. He keeps you sheltered. And he keeps you secure. First then, he keeps you safe. On a surface reading, the psalmist is thinking of traveling mercies. And that makes perfect sense if, in the context of this pilgrimage they're making to Jerusalem. And if we this morning picture what the journey would be like for one of those ancient pilgrims, we'll use Jericho as an example. He's leaving Jericho, and as he nears the city of Jerusalem for one of the feasts, he's singing this psalm with all the others who are traveling with him. And this is what they're singing. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. It's about 36 kilometers by road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and it's uphill. It starts 260 meters below sea level in Jericho, where it's always very hot. And you would have to travel to Jerusalem on a narrow, dusty, dangerous little trail, a rocky road, at a slow walking pace to Jerusalem, which is more than 700 meters above sea level. So you're going to climb about 1 kilometer high. That's a long, hard day's journey if you're in good shape. And for many people, it would take them 2 days, especially if they were older or they were with little children. And it was dangerous on that road. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan that happened on that road, the Jericho road. There's danger of thieves and robbers in David's time and for generations after that. The dangers were very many. Armed enemies were there, wild animals, hostile tribes, Amalekites, Philistines. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Why does he say that? Think about those of you who've taken driving lessons. Your driving lessons instructor told you, look down the road. Don't just look right here in front of your car. Look further down the road so that you can anticipate problems. Be aware of your surroundings. That's what the psalmist is doing. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. He's not saying that he's looking for his help to come from the hills. No, the hills is where the dangers were. He looks up and he sees the looming dangers. He's aware of his surroundings. And he confesses his desperate need for help. That's why he says, from whence cometh my help? And in King James, it's not written as a question, but it should be. Because in Hebrew, it is a question. From where does my help come? He's looking to the dangerous hills and he's asking this question, where's my help going to come from? Those dangers, those hills is where all the dangers were. He sees himself surrounded by all those rugged hills and rocky places. And he wonders, where will I find help on that dangerous journey? But he already knows the answer. He gives it right away. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. My God is greater than those hills. He is more powerful than any danger that can be lurking in those hills. In fact, my God made those hills. He created the heavens and the earth. No, the hills are not the source of our help. God is. That's what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 3, verse 23. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. That's why the psalmist says, when I look to those hills and I know all the dangers that are there, then my help comes from the Lord. And the psalmist here is looking far beyond the physical journey that lay ahead of him. Remember, he's on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for a spiritual feast. And he's making here a very significant statement of faith. And when the psalmist makes statements like these, they're not guaranteeing physical safety. They're talking about spiritual salvation by grace and faith in Christ. Deliverance from the guilt of our sins. Deliverance from the attacks of Satan. And through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately, deliverance from the wrath of God. Those are the real dangers that everyone faces as a fallen creature. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 12? Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. He would say to David here on this road, don't be afraid of all the dangers that are lurking in those hills. They can only kill your body. But he says, fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Fear God, he says. Fear him. Well, dear believers, the Lord your keeper in Christ keeps you safe even from his own wrath against your sin. The Lord is your keeper. As a redeemed person, the psalmist knows this all too well. He understands that divine grace for your soul is the only help that really matters. When God redeems a soul from sin, there's nothing else to fear. That's what Paul writes, Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Even on that dangerous road to Jerusalem, where there's danger lurking around every corner. That's a New Testament way of saying, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that's a good summary of the gospel message, isn't it? Our help, our salvation comes from the Lord. Christ has done everything to redeem us. He is our salvation. We don't need help or additional merit from any other source. If we are seeking help, and whoever we're seeking it from is not directing us to look to the Lord, that's not real help. That's just a band-aid. No, our real help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the help that we as believers receive from the Lord is comprehensive. It includes everything necessary for our salvation. That's one of the central truths of the gospel message, and that's the promise of this psalm too. My help comes from the Lord. God is my keeper. He saves us. He does it freely, by grace. So dear believer, this psalm tells you, God's own word, the Lord is your keeper. He's the one who saves your soul. He's the one who keeps that soul safe. It's not telling you you're not going to have any accidents in your life. It's not telling you you're not going to get sick. Not telling you that you're not going to die, perhaps as a teenager. None of that is guaranteed in the Word of God. But this is, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He keeps you safe. And secondly, he keeps you stable. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. The picture here is of someone on that dirty, dusty mountain track losing his footing and slipping and stumbling. And on those treacherous mountain roads, that could be fatal. Some of us from this church made that journey a few years back from Jericho to Jerusalem, but we were on an air-conditioned bus. These people had no such thing. They didn't have an air-conditioned bus with a very skillful driver. They made the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem on foot. And they had beasts of burdens with them and groups of children and older people. And if your foot slipped, you could die on that track. In the Bible, you read more often about slippery feet. And it's actually speaking of something even more serious than a fatal fall into a dangerous canyon along that road. Slipping and sliding feet is a common biblical picture of a person coming to divine judgment. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 32. The Lord says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. The psalm writer would know that expression from what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. And he's writing about something far greater than road hazards. This is about God's eternal deliverance. Because you are safe in Christ Jesus by faith. It's not a promise that you're never going to fall down and break a leg or break a hip or have some other injury. But it is a promise that not one saved sinner will ever have his foot slip into divine judgment. Your keeper, dear believer, keeps you stable on your feet. You cannot and you will not slip into condemnation. Satan quoted one of these promises. And he misapplied it when he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. He quoted from Psalm 91. Verse 11 and 12, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. No, this is not a promise that you will never stub your toe. It is a promise that you will not see condemnation. 1 Samuel 2, verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints. Solomon writes in Proverbs, keep sound wisdom and discretion, then shalt thou walk in thy safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and keep thy foot from being taken. Talking about condemnation. And the Lord will keep you. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Ever. He does it continually. Without ever taking a break. Listen how it's written there. Verse 3 and 4. He will not let thy foot be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. What an amazing gospel truth this is. The psalmist says it with emphasis about how cautious the Lord is in guarding the footsteps of his people. The Lord is able to keep us from falling because he himself never falls asleep. He never even dozes off for a few minutes. He never takes a nap. There's nothing he's not aware of. There's nothing he doesn't see. Our God is not like the pagan idea of God. Children, you know the story of Elijah on the mountain, taunting the priests of Baal when their God gave them no answer. What did Elijah say? 1 Kings 18, verse 27. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe your God is sleeping and you need to wake him up. Not so with our Lord. He never sleeps. He never even slumbers. He is eternally vigilant. He is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, never looking away, never distracted, never neglectful of his people. Oh, there's such security in that. Dear believers, let us rest in that. God's faithfulness. Verse 4 speaks of God's watchfulness over all his people collectively. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Israel there is a reference to the whole church, Old Testament, New Testament. And in verse 3, it makes it individual. He that keepeth thee, that is you singular, you individually, will not slumber. That means, children, that the Lord is as watchful over one lamb of the flock as he is over the whole flock. He notices, he cares for, he provides for, he protects each one. Job says, thy words have upholden him that was falling. Thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. That's what the Lord does. He will not let your foot be moved. He keeps you from stumbling. He gives you strength and stability. The Lord is your keeper, keeping you safe, keeping you stable on your feet, meaning ultimately keeping you from judgment, from condemnation, because you are in Christ. Are you in Christ by faith? Is that your trust? Is that your foundation? Your only foundation? Well, then this psalm is true for you. Thirdly, third place too, he keeps you sheltered. The Lord is thy keeper. There's the center, the theme of the psalm right there. And every other part of the psalm either points to this or explains it deeper. The Lord is your keeper. It's all true, every word of it. The Lord, Jehovah himself, is. Not might be, or could possibly be, or was at one time. No, he is your keeper. Spoken to all those who believe in him, because that word keeper that speaks of guardianship, it's the same word that's used in Genesis already, in Genesis 2 verse 15. God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So Adam was to keep the garden. He was to take care of it, to tend to it, to make sure everything was growing, that things were safe. It's an active word. It means watchful care, stewardship. Notice with me the repetition of that word keep. Verse 3. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That same word is used in verse 5 as a noun now. So the Lord keeps you, the Lord keeps Israel, the Lord is your keeper. And that word is used elsewhere in the scriptures to speak of shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. It speaks of doorkeepers of the house of God. It speaks of prison keepers, vine dressers. All those are metaphors that are used for the Lord in scripture. And they all picture the Lord Jesus Christ closely tending his people, ministering to their every need, guiding them in their journey, protecting them from harm, caring for their afflictions, even atoning for their guilt. And how closely does he tend them? See the beautiful imagery of verses 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So the Lord himself is your shelter. His shadow shields you day and night. The expression on your right hand speaks of somebody taking intentionally a position on your right hand. It's a place that is near and personal. A strategic position for a defender. In Psalm 109, the psalmist says, he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Shade upon thy right hand. The Lord your God is on your right hand as a defender, as a supporter, as a sustainer. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Psalm 16, verse 8. And that idea of shade, that's very common in Scripture. Think about these sayings. This is from the book of Psalms. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. A saved soul cries out to the Lord, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And then there's the well-known statement in Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that shadow is so strong that the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Our Lord never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is our shelter day and night. That's what's meant by that expression. Why do we need to be sheltered from the sun? But just think about it in natural daily life. You know that if overexposure to the sun, you could end up with a sunburn. But what about the moon? Why does it say, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night? In Bible times, it was thought that too much exposure to the moon could harm you. That it could damage your mind. That's where we get words like lunacy and lunatic from that idea that your mind can be damaged by the moon. But even here in the Bible, it says that's impossible. God will not allow this to happen. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And let's keep in mind that this is not meant to be taken in a strictly literal sense. No, the reality is this, the psalmist is not actually talking about physical safety. It's about spiritual security. It's a figure of speech. Our God keeps us safe and stable and sheltered both day and night. The Lord shields us from any kind of external threats. Sometimes those threats can seem unrelenting. You can imagine these people traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. And the sun is blazing down on them in that desert climate. And it is unrelenting. It is a threat. Other threats are just merely frightening or annoying. Like the glow of the moon. What we really need, beloved, on our journey is a peaceful rest during this journey. And the only shelter there is, there's none better, there's none needed. The only shelter to our spiritual well-being is God Himself. In Christ Jesus, He is our refuge and our strength. The Lord is your keeper, keeping you safe, keeping you stable, keeping you sheltered, and keeping you secure. We'll consider that after we sing. Number 345, also based on Psalm 121, "To the hills I lift my eyes, whence shall help for me arise?" He keeps you secure. Three more times in the closing verses, the psalmist uses that same Hebrew word for keep. So for a total of six times in the psalm, here he sums up and he reiterates all the previous promises of the psalm in this statement. That is as comprehensive as possible. The Lord shall preserve. That's the same Hebrew word as keep. The Lord shall keep thee from all evil. The Lord shall keep thy soul. The Lord shall keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. See, that stresses the utter completeness of the Lord's protection. Three statements, all beginning with these words, "The Lord shall keep." The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He will protect you from anything and everything that can threaten your spiritual well-being. He will keep your soul, your very spiritual life. He will protect you from anything and everything that might diminish or rob you of the joy of your salvation. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. He will providentially guard and direct you. That expression, "your going out and your coming in," that's very common in Scripture. It means no matter where you go or what you're doing there, "blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. The Lord shall preserve or keep thy going in and thy coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. So, dear believer, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, God exercises His providential care and guardianship over you. And this is a promise that does not apply just to that earthly pilgrimage from Jericho or anywhere else in Israel to Jerusalem. It's not the promise of a trouble-free life here and now. It's not the promise of your best life here and your best life now. No. It's not a promise that you won't get cancer. It's not a promise that you won't have marriage problems or financial issues. But it is a promise much better. It's a promise about the upward spiritual journey in which God brings you from this life here to the heavenly New Jerusalem. Psalm 121 is an all-inclusive promise of security in the Lord Jesus Christ for believers of all times, including this time, including believers here this morning. That is why this is one of the best loved psalms in Scripture. All these promises will serve you well in every circumstance of life. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Peter writes in the New Testament along the same lines, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's remember the heading of Psalm 121, a song of ascent sung by regular everyday people like us, not even sung in the worship service specifically, but on the way to Jerusalem. They're going to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast days according to the command and the law of God. They're people walking in obedience, walking in the ways of the Lord, even when those ways can be dangerous. And yet the Lord promised He keeps them safe and stable and sheltered and secure. They trusted, they obeyed their keeper. Do you? Do you trust and obey your keeper? When he says to you, do it my way, live your life this way, according to the word of God, do you then trust that that's the best way and obey him? You can imagine a family living in Jericho. And it's that time of year again, they have to go to Jerusalem. And the children might say, Daddy, it's so dangerous. Let's just stay home. It's safe here. But Daddy would say, no, children, we must trust our Lord. He will keep us. And we will go in the way of obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ sang these psalms too. As he and his disciples traveled to Jerusalem from wherever they were in Israel, they would sing these psalms too. They would say to each other, the Lord is your keeper. Jesus would say that to his disciples, and the disciples would say it to Jesus, and Jesus knew that the Lord would not be his keeper. He knew that his Father would not keep him safe and stable. In fact, he went to condemnation. He would not be sheltered from the wrath of God. He was not secure. He descended into hell. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken. He was unsafe. He was unstable. He was unsheltered. He was insecure. In your place, dear believer, and he did it so that the promises of Psalm 121 could be in effect for you today in the year 2019. So that you could lay hold on these promises. If you're here as an unbeliever this morning, then Psalm 121 addresses you too in a very limited sense. Just think about it. The Lord has kept you safe every minute of your life so far. It's the only reason you're still alive. His mercies do not fail. They are new every morning. That's why you're still here. It's the goodness of the Lord that keeps you breathing until this very moment. And my unbelieving friend, you need to acknowledge that. And you need to confess the sin of your unbelief and repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness and eternal life freely. And then the true meaning of Psalm 121 will be true for you too. That not only in this lifespan, but forevermore, the Lord is your keeper. Children, if you are trusting in the Lord and believing His promises and loving the Lord Jesus, if by His grace you already now desire to serve the Lord and obey Him, then Psalm 121 is for you too. That means the Lord is your keeper too. And then you may rest assured that you are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just now, but forever. And teenagers, do you believe the promises of Psalm 121? Not just for your physical well-being, your physical safety, but for your soul's security. Where do you look for help in your difficulties? Do you, like the psalmist, exclaim, "My help comes from the Lord"? In fighting temptations, who is it that keeps you stable? Oh, look to the Lord God Almighty for your help, your security, your safety. And adults, when we read Psalm 121, do our souls echo its assurance? Do we shout, "I know the Lord is my keeper. The Bible tells me so"? And when we're asked, "Where does your help come from? How do you do this? How can you live this way? Where does your help come from?" Do you answer unhesitatingly, "My help comes from the Lord"? In all the situations of life, happy circumstances, sad circumstances, difficult times, trying times, and afflictions, and serious illness, loss of a loved one, this is where you can stand. The Lord is my keeper. Psalm 121 applies to all believers in all circumstances of life. It's for single people in their unique situations, in their unique temptations that married people know nothing about. And in their trials too. It's for married couples in their unique circumstances, their unique joys and sorrows and trials. It's for widows and widowers, and each one in their own unique experience. And dear believer, no matter who you are, no matter what your personal situation, your help comes from the Lord. The Lord is your keeper. When is this true? Always. He never sleeps, day and night, from this time and forevermore. Is it true in all circumstances? Yes. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He keeps your soul. It applies to your going out and your coming in, wherever you are. But notice one final matter with me, and we need to keep this in mind. Whenever we're reading and thinking about Psalm 121, those songs of ascent were sung on special occasions. They were for those Hebrew people when they, in obedience, were traveling to Jerusalem for the feasts. It's when they were walking in the ways of the Lord, going where He commanded, doing what He required, living in obedience to the law of the Lord, living by faith, trusting Him to keep His promise as they obeyed. Even though that way of obedience might lead through very, very dangerous and difficult places. Now, we don't have to travel to Jerusalem for those feasts every year. We should be thankful for that. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all of that. But when, as children and teenagers and single people or married couples, we are by faith living according to the Word of God, we can be assured of the fact that the Lord is our keeper. He's keeping us safe, stable, sheltered, secure. But if we are knowingly and willingly and stubbornly living in disobedience, even as believers, even as children of God, we will have no comfort from Psalm 121. Because when we are living in disobedience, we have no joy. We have no joy of salvation. We have no assurance. And our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is severely hampered. So we need to be aware of that too. It's all beautiful. It's wonderful. And it's true for every believer. The Lord is your keeper, but you will not have that joy if you're willfully living in sin. So for family visitation, when your district elder comes and he calls to arrange your family visit, we talk about it in the consistory sometimes. We so appreciate the way everyone cooperates when it comes to arranging these visits. Thank you for that, and please continue to do that. And please prepare ahead of time. Maybe every member of the family can memorize Psalm 121. It's not all that long. It's well known to most of us already. So when the elder asks you some personal questions about the reality of Psalm 121 in your life, and even your children can explain perhaps what this psalm means to them, remember, it's 100% true for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is your keeper. And you can say it with confidence. My help always comes from the Lord. Always. From this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of Psalm 121. Lord, we pray that thy people may go forth in the strength of the Lord. Go forth valiantly and go forth boldly, trusting, depending, believing the promises of this psalm. We may shout it out to everyone, my help comes from the Lord. And that we may encourage each other as believers, reminding each other, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. Not just for this time, but forevermore. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to thy word, to be faithful in our walk of life. Help us, Lord, constantly to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so true, O Lord. When we look around us and pay attention only to our circumstances, we only get distressed. When we look inside, the mess in our own hearts, we can only get depressed. But when we look to Christ Jesus, we can be at rest. Help us, Lord, to constantly look to him and walk in his ways and live out of his fullness and out of who we are in him. We may, O Lord, appreciate and live in security in Christ Jesus the Lord. Bless us now as we go to our catechism classes. Lord, we pray for each of the teachers that would fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Be with each student, that we may gladly learn the truths of the Holy Word of God. Bless us as parents, that we also may do this at home. Help us, Lord, in every way to glorify thy great and awesome name in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.